Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, the Challenged Athletes Foundation. That's ChallengedAthletes.org. And you can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville Radio and on iTunes. Our next guest, longtime race director, creator of Cause Events. He's got the San Diego International coming up on June 28th, Mr. Rick Kozlowski. Rick, how the heck are you?
You know what? Every time I talk to Bob Babbitt, it's always a good day.
For folks who don't know, Kaz and I did the Ironman when the Earth was still cooling back in 1980, and it changed both our lives, right? Both of us ended up in this weird sport of triathlon and running. All the endurance world sort of opened up after we went and. You know, it's so funny about this, guys. 108 of us did the race that year, and I don't know about you, but I came back feeling like this sport was special and it was going to change my life based on 108 idiots. You feel sort of the same way?
No, you know what's really funny is I came back going, well, that was a long day of exercise and get back to normal. And then after that, I ended up going to the Navy and fighting the Navy for a few years. And then once I got out of the Navy, came back going, oh, my God, that thing that Babbitt and I did a long time ago, hey, people are making money off of that.
Better figure out how. So let's talk specifically about San Diego International, because Father Joe Carroll has been such a big part of this. Talk about the creation of that event and how that came about.
Well, it's really interesting because right back there in the early 80s, I just got down to the Navy, and because of Ironman, I said, you know, I'm going to start racing these kind of semi-professional triathlons because there really wasn't that much prize money in there. So for a lot of us, it was mainly a part-time job, type of thing where we had regular jobs and then we just go off and race and win a dinner for two at Chart House or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
But Father Joe had just taken over or had been the executive director of St. Vincent de Paul Center, which is basically a warehouse thrift store and a side door where they serve sandwiches for breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And he had been there in charge of that, appointed by Bishop Marfrey. He had been there for about a year, and he was looking to develop his first fundraiser, and somehow he thought of the sport of triathlons. My mom got the two of us together and says, you know, Rick does he's a professional triathlete, ha, ha, ha. And Father Joe says, well, you know what, triathlon sounds good to me. It's a kind of a different demographic than your normal runners, because I always explain, it's like, when you go to a triathlon, a guy triathlete shows up in their BMW, their Volvo, their Mercedes. They bring out their $5,000 bike, their entourage, their wet, the whole thing. You go to a normal run, they five guys fall out of a VW Bug wearing last week's T-shirt they got at some other run. So that's how the City International Triathlon developed. First year, we were one stop of the Bud Light Triathlon Series. And then after that, it actually became San Diego Invitational Triathlon for a few years. Then we changed the name to San Diego International because we were getting a lot of pro athletes from all around the world.
Well, and you look at it between, you know, Craig Alexander, Chris McCormick, McKeely Jones, all the top athletes, Paul Newby Frazier, all the top international athletes can say they won that race at some point in time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's amazing when you go back and you look at the, quote, what we call now the legends of the sport, how many had participated in it. And I think another big thing was, actually, it was at San Diego International when Brad Kearns won the race and beat Scott Timley by about a half a minute. And he was basically the first person to use aero bars in the sport of triathlon.
That's right. That was there at San Diego International before he, I think that was months before he went over to Desert Princess.
Yeah, well, the whole thing also that's funny, Bob, is that you've been at all of them except for one.
I know. I've been at all. But that a lot of slow miles on that course. What's interesting is when I look at the course out the Cabrillo Monument and then running along to Seaport Village and going past the Star of India, it's such a classic course. I wonder sometimes, do you think if you went to the city now and said, hey, I want to do this race that starts out by the airport, do you think you could even get permits for a brand new event on that course now?
It would be probably a little bit more difficult, it might be a possibility. But I think the big thing isn't so much going on the permit, it's coming up with the creation, and that's what... when I look at the industry of endurance sports, and it's people, I'm not going to blow my horn, but it's people like me that had really paved the way in creating courses that were good for community with at least amount of impact, good for the athletes, good for sponsors. And what has happened, what I've seen over the years, is because we, our old guys in this industry, like you take Neil Finn with ACF Marathon,
right,
that type of stuff, we developed these, we actually blazed the trails and paid the price, and now we have a lot of people that are coming in. They put open a website. They're going to start this half marathon. There's a marathon. There's a triathlon. And basically, guerrilla market over the events that we've developed. And unfortunately, at this point, most of the athletes don't differentiate between the sport, between the different events. Like Neil's been involved at ACF Marathon as long as I've been involved,
sure,
if not longer. And people go, well, if Neil's done this, or Kaz has done this, or Enmosa has done this, we want to kind of do the same thing.
Sure.
So,
and it's easier nowadays. I think it's to be a race director,
yeah,
you put up a website, you can hire, there's a lot of people out there who've helped out with other events. You can, there's less of a barrier to entry. And I think in the past, people wanted to do something with a brand, right? Like,
right,
because Rick Kozlowski had put on an event for X amount of years, you're more likely to do that event that had history to it than something that was brand new. I think in this day and age, it's sort of just the opposite, where I think sometimes people come up with a brand new mud run or a new, you know, it's a new color event. Whatever it happens to be, people are looking for the flavor of the month.
Yeah.
Because it's a bigger pot. There's more endurance entertainment. There's more and more people out there who don't call themselves just triathletes or runners or cyclists. They're doing everything. So there's more people out there, but there's also more events.
Right. And here on the nose, it has flipped off in the industry where there were kind of recognizable names in the industry where it's like, oh, if you go to their event, that's going to be good. But now, like you said, somebody put up a nice website, create this course. And Bob, you and I have seen it in just the last few years that people have done this, and all of a sudden the race closes down.
Exactly.
No, and the guy takes the money and leaves town.
People need to, and the people who are participating, because there are more new people, they aren't as sophisticated in knowing what to look for in an event because they haven't done it before, which is,
right,
you know, the positive and negative is, the positive is there's more people than ever before.
Right.
And the fact that something like rock and roll has, you know, a million participants with 60 to 65% women, the demographic of our events is getting better and better and better. But they're almost, you know, for a lot of folks, they don't really know what they should be looking for in terms of,
right,
is the race safe? I see the website. I see the shiny metal. It looks great. The T-shirt looks nice. But there's more to it in terms of making sure the roads are blocked off and safe.
Bob, you hit it right on the nose. Is every once in a while I have people come to me and go, why is the triathlon so expensive? I said, because you're paying for things that you don't know that are out there. Yeah, you get your high-tech T-shirts, you get your finisher medals. I mean, now you better have a giant 5-inch diameter finisher medal for people. Get your finisher medals, you get your post-race party, your beer gun, all that. But they don't realize for different events why we charge more. Well, I got 45 police officers out there. I have,
right,
20 lifeguards in the water. I have 5 ambulances on the course. I mean, they don't see what's in the background. It's like, say, for example, if you take a cruise ship, you don't see the 2,000 crew members that are making the whole event happen. And now, for example, with Father Joe's International Triathlon, I mean, I remember the first, you know, say the first 10 years, I had a staff of maybe 10 that would pull that race off.
Yeah.
To make that race really work the way it does now, I have a staff of about 25 to 30 people that are working Friday, Saturday, and Sunday on the event, let alone the 4 staff members we have working prior to the event with registration, promotions, and marketing.
Well, and what I tell people all the time, you can't look at a triathlon like you do a running event. Running event, basically, once you shoot the gun, things are, you know, the road's blocked,
right,
off and things are pretty safe. You've got 3 events. You have 3 separate events that are linked together. You have a swim, and you're dealing with the lifeguards, you're dealing with the, mm-hmm, buoys, you're dealing with everything with people who haven't been in a wetsuit before and get claustrophobic. Then you're dealing with a bike ride where people can be going 30, 35, 40 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got to run. So it's the amount of logistics to put on what you guys do is pretty amazing. I'm imagining that as a race director, until everybody's off the bike and you know for sure everybody's off the bike, your heart rate's a little higher.
You know, Bob, I can't believe it because that is the way I feel every event.
Yeah.
I go, while they're swimming, I go, oh, God, please don't have someone drowned on me.
Right.
And then they get out, they're on the bike. I go, oh, please don't have them run in a curb and crash and break a clavicle or get hit by a car that gets on the course or two bikes crashing into each other. And once they get out the bike, it's so funny because they go, well, they're running, so the worst thing they do is they fall down.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And I can handle that.
At 3 miles or 4 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yes,
no.
And it's so funny when you talk about some, how fast the bike's going. I remember one year leading Spencer Smith down the race course at Kenner National. He was doing 50 miles an hour as we were heading down Catalina Canyon. It was freaking incredible.
That is wild. So will this be your 33rd or 34th?
You know, I hate to say this, but I really don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I don't. People say, "How many of those have you done?" I said, "I think I've done 30 something, but I'm not quite positive."
Bob, you and I are in the same boat because we're as old as the sport is, basically, and we have lost track of time.
Oh my God! Yeah, I can't remember anything. And so the classic race is the 1K swim, 30K bike, 10K run.
Yeah.
And then you've also added a half K swim, 20K bike, 6K run.
Right.
And did I see you're doing an aqua bike?
Yeah, and this year on our Twice series, we've added the aqua bike because we have a lot of older individuals who just can't do the run anymore. So we started that at Mission Bay Triathlon last October, and we dovetailed that into the Spring Sprint and San Antonio and the rest of the San Diego Triathlon series. So we have the aqua bike in there. And then also over the years, we've added the duathlon to some of the events. It's not at the San Diego National Triathlon, but other San Diego Twice series, we have the duathlon. So we're trying to offer something to everybody. And then also at Spring Sprint, we had the kids race, which is kind of cool. It's about 150 kids we had out for that. So
I love that.
We try to appeal to
aqua bike. So will they? You swim 1K, you ride 30K, and then no run.
Right. You do the swim, and you do the international swim and the international bike, and no run. And that way you can get right to the beer garden.
Oh, I like that. That works out really well for folks who might have a little bit of problem running. So you have raised, I think, over $1 million for the homeless through this.
Over the years, we've raised probably about $1,150,000 for Father Joe and St. Vincent de Paul Village. And, you know, also, Bob, what's really amazing is that seeing the growth of St. National Triathlon and the growth of the sport, is that to see the growth of Father Joe's Villages, because it started at St. Vincent de Paul Village or Center, and now it's Father Joe's Villages. We have Joan Clark Center that was the first big building built when I first started with Father Joe about 3 years later. We had the Bishop Maher Center, the Paul Barabli Center, Joshua House. We have Harvey Mandel Apartments. We have a new apartment complex built in East Village. You know, it's interesting when you talk about it. It's like, I think Father Joe had a bigger vision before John Morris, because he owns more property in East Village than John Morris does.
Well, and the cool thing is that our little sport of triathlon has basically helped to build all that.
It certainly has. And for people who are listening to this, I just want to say on behalf of Father Joe and myself and all the people that we help at St. Vincent's and Father Joe's Village, thank you so much for coming out and trying for us. And that's the big thing.
So, Kaz, do you think it's going to be hard for you next year when this rent rolls around for you to go, I think I'm going to be sleeping in?
Actually, you know what? Someone asked me that the other day, and it was funny. I said, I've actually produced over 350, close to 400 events where I've been in charge of everything, and I've been involved with another 150 events, right, at Portion. And every event that you are basically responsible for, when that person shows up to the point they leave and their life is on the line, to your judgments and your decisions and your qualifications, it takes a part out of your soul. And at this point, my soul is on empty. So when next year rolls around, I think what I'm going to do, Bob, if you do the race, I will do it with you.
Okay. Well, you'll have to go really slow. That'd be good.
There's no harm with that because we can have a little we'll hit the transition at the swim, and before the run, we'll have a beer as we do it. Instead of doing the beer mile, we'll do the beer triathlon.
What I think is interesting is a lot of people, because of the proliferation of events now. I remember getting a fair number of calls over the years where people go like, hey, we want to raise some money for our charity, and I thought I'd put on an event. I'd put on a running event or put on a triathlon event. And invariably, I'd be like, well, before you do something like that, understand that you're going to be waking up in the morning like Kaz does on June 28th, knowing that you're responsible for the safety of 2,000, 3,000 people. Wouldn't it be easier to do a bake sale?
Oh, that's right. I hear you on that one. Plus, you get fat eating it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, Kaz, we will see you out there. And again, it is kazevents.com, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, right. And you can sign up.
And then you can go to neighbors.org if you want to get involved with Father Joe's Villages, neighbors.org.
Nice.
And then we also, for those of you that aren't going to the triathlon this year, go to our website, and there's a link that you can actually donate to Father Joe's Villages. And if you're not going to do the race, just on behalf of Father Joe,
yes,
throw in a little extra cash for the homeless and less fortunate of San Diego.
Well, what I love, Kaz always has great band at the finish, beer garden, and you're getting a tour of San Diego. There's something special about riding your bike along where the military cemetery is during Kaz's event. And what I love about that, it makes you realize the sacrifice those folks made so that we can do triathlon, that we can ride along the way there. And then you finish that bike ride, it's beautiful. It's challenging, but beautiful. And then that run, that point-to-point run where you're going Harbor Island, Seaport Village, you're getting a tour of San Diego, and you're done, and you're in a beer garden before most people are awake on that Sunday. All right, again, we're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $64 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport and Babbittville Radio. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.